the voice of truth says this is for my glory. Out of all the voices calling out to me, I will choose to listen and believe the voice of truth.
Welcome to Walking in Truth, the Bible teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel of Grace and Truth with Pastor Johnny Zacchio. Please join us now as we study God's Word.
Acts chapter 27, and you remember that when we left off, we covered chapters 25 and 26 a couple weeks ago, and we see that the Apostle Paul has been standing before the officials there. He's been accused of blasphemy, and everything that was being hurled against him was simply because he was sharing his faith in Jesus Christ, the death, burial, and resurrection of his Lord. And he stood before Felix, and he stood before Festus, and he stood before Agrippa, and he keeps on sharing his testimony. And we saw there the power of our testimony as we share what Jesus has done in our lives and what he's doing in our lives. And he's on his way. He appealed to go to Caesar. He said, I should be judged by Caesar. Being I'm a Roman citizen, I'm appealing to go and stand before Caesar. And he's on an all-expense-paid trip to Rome, courtesy of the Roman government. Isn't that great? But as he's journeying, as he's getting there, and God told him, he says, Paul, be of good courage. When he was getting beaten again and he got locked up again, and the Lord came and stood next to Paul and said, be of good courage, Paul, because just like you testified of me here in Jerusalem, so you also must do for me in Rome. And God gave him a promise saying, this isn't the end. You're going to get to Rome and I'm going to get you there. But as he's on his way there, there are going to be rough seas ahead, which I've entitled this message this morning. There will be rough seas ahead for us as well at times. And we pick up here chapter 27, verse 1. And it says, and when it was decided that we should sail to Italy, they delivered Paul and some other prisoners to one named Julius, a centurion of the Augustan regiment. And so they're in this boat. They're going to go and sail over toward Italy. And they come across a centurion named Julius. Now, whenever we see centurions in the Bible, they're always in a favorable light. They're always looked upon as good people, as a good guy, you know, usually. And we're going to see that that's true of this man, Julius, as well. So he's on his way over there. And it says in verse 2, so entering a ship of Adramyttium, we put to sea, meaning to sail along the coasts of Asia. Aristarchus, a Macedonian of Thessalonica, was with us. And the next day we landed at Sidon, and Julius treated Paul kindly and gave him liberty to go to his friends and receive care. So this centurion, as we see, he's also a pretty good guy. They land there in Sidon. He allows Paul to go and visit his friends and get some care that he needed. And it says here that when he had put to sea, from there, we sailed under the shelter of Cyprus because the winds were contrary. Now, they're about to embark on a 200 or so mile journey, not on a cruise liner. Remember, when we're reading our Bibles, you got to remember where we're at. You know, they're in a sailboat, okay? No motor. They had under oarsmen under there and some of their boats, guys under the bottom of the ship that would be physically rowing the ship to their destination. And this is where they're at. And the winds were becoming contrary. And when we had sailed over the sea, which is off Cilicia and Pamphylia, we came to Myra, a city of Lycia. There, the centurion found an Alexandrian ship sailing to Italy, and he put us on board. So they got like a connecting flight. You know, any of you ever fly? So they have a layover here in Cilicia, okay? And they find another ship from Alexandria that's heading over toward their way. And when we had sailed slowly, verse 7, many days and arrived with difficulty off Cnidus, the wind not permitting us to proceed, we sailed under the shelter of Crete off Salmon. Passing it with difficulty, we came to a place called Fair Havens near the city of Lazia. Now, I stop here, and I'm looking at this as I'm studying, and I say sometimes this is where we can find ourselves. We're just sailing along, You know, we're in God's will. You see, we got to be careful, because when storms come, when contrary winds blow, sometimes we think, uh-oh, I'm out of God's will. Sometimes that's the very will of God for us. And Jesus is our captain, right? Well, he should be our captain. And we need to trust him and the course that he sets for us to sail on. But sometimes in the midst of it, we could find, like they are here, that it's going slowly. Notice that verse 7. They're sailing slowly. Many days. It's long, right? Sometimes it just seems like things are moving so slow in our life. Things just seem to be so dragged out. Everything's just taking so long. It says there were difficulties. They arrived there in Snidus with difficulty. There are obstacles that we face along the way sometimes, right? And the path could seem that it's getting more and more difficult for us. This is when we need to set our sails to the wind of the Holy Spirit. You know, the Holy Spirit is referenced as wind, right? Pneuma. And sometimes we're setting our sail to the wind of the world, or the wind of our circumstances, or the wind of what we want to do, our will. And we need to set our sails in these moments to the wind of the Holy Spirit to lead and guide us. We must be on guard during these times from the tactics of Satan to try and reroute us, because he loves to do that. And he will make things right in front of us. He will present opportunities wide open before us. Notice verse 8, they came to a place called Fair Havens. And we're going to see that this was anything but a place of fair havens, of a safe haven by any means. You see, fair havens could speak to us as the desire for smooth sailing. Now, look, I'm the first one to say I hate going through tribulations and trials. But I'll tell you what, in almost 15 years that I'm walking with my Lord and Savior, I am most comfortable when I'm in those turbulence, because I know the Lord's with me. And I know that most of the times it's because I'm doing his will. I'm in his perfect will. When everything is smooth sailing for me, I got to be honest with you, I get a little bit nervous. I start asking myself, is everything cool? Now, I welcome the times of graciousness in my walk, and I welcome those times of peace and when the seas are still. But there's this desire in us to always want smooth sailing. The path of least resistance, right? We don't like resistance. We don't like obstacles. We don't like things drawn out and slowing down and difficulties on the way. And we come to these places where the enemy opens up for us, called fair havens. Seemingly great opportunities. Be careful. That's why we need to pray. That's why we need to be seeking the Lord's heart. We need to have a discerning spirit. And we got to ask God and say, Lord, is this your will for me? Does this line up with your word, Lord? Is it contrary in any way to your word, this opportunity that's presented before me? When those ideal circumstances come, and we look at it and we say, this is just a fair haven. I mean, look at all the storms that are behind me. Look at everything that's going on. It's so difficult now. And now, wow, this fair haven is right in front of me. And you see, they were desiring to sail and continue their sail because these ships at this time were carrying grain. And they wanted to get over to Italy to sell their grain. They were so interested in making their profit. Their greed and their comfort have blinded them so much that they are willing to go and sail when they knew that these storms during this time on these seas would be the roughest. And we come to this place called Fair Havens. Be very careful when you're looking for that smooth sailing. You just may very well be in God's perfect will when you're on that ship and the waves are rising. Hang in there. Let's keep on reading. Verse 9, it says, now when much time had been spent and sailing was now dangerous because the fast was already over, Paul advised them, saying, men, I perceive that this voyage will end with disaster and much loss, not only of the cargo in the ship, but also our lives. You see, it was very dangerous for them to set sail during this time of the fast. Now, this time of the fast would be around October, the Day of Atonement, Yom Kippur. And they should have known, these sailors should have known who sailed these seas, that between September and November, it was very dangerous to be sailing. But again, they're so focused on getting to their destination, making their profit. They don't want that grain, their bread to be spoiled, right? And they're going to go anyway. And what does Paul do? God is always faithful, you see. And this is what I love about the Lord and his word. God is always faithful to warn us and to advise us. And God will use his word primarily, but God will also use at times people. And God uses the Apostle Paul here. And he says to these men, he goes, guys, and Paul advises them. He says, listen, I perceive that there's going to be much disaster here. Loss of the cargo, the ship, and even our lives if we continue to go forward. Now, I believe that this was possibly a word of prophecy from the Apostle Paul, but I think it was more practical because we know that in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 25, as Paul's giving the description of the things that he went through, he at this point in his life had already been shipwrecked 3 times. Paul knew the seas. Paul knew the seasons, and he knew when to sail and when not to sail. He was a day and a night in the deep, floating around in the ocean at one point. So Paul knows, and he says, guys, listen, this isn't a good idea. I think we should stay put. And God is always faithful to bring us those warnings and to bring us that word of exhortation to say, hey, you better slow down. You better think about this. You better stay put. You see, because continuing on the path that they were headed would cause disaster. Okay, Paul said it. This is going to cause disaster. It's going to cause loss. Loss of what? Their belongings, their shelter, and their lives. You see, and what does that say to us? That's why it's so important for us to be in tune with the Holy Spirit in our lives, to be in tune with the Word of God in our lives, because the Lord wants to share with us and tell us, hey, listen, don't go there, don't move forward, because there's going to be disaster. And I sit with people, I talk with people, and I can't tell you how many times that I've shared the Word of God in certain circumstances, and it was the Holy Spirit, not me, it was the Holy Spirit speaking, warning and saying, please do not do this. Please do not go that way. Please stay put, or please, whatever the case is, whatever the word of God says concerning that circumstance. And they go, yeah, I know. Yeah, I know what the word says. Yeah, I understand that, but. Yeah, I hear what you're saying, but. Yes, that's true, but, and they go and they do and they stay and they go to that path that they're going. And what happens? Disaster, loss of their belongings, of their shelter, of their homes, of their families, death. Not just physical death. I'm not talking about physical death, but death in these situations because they did not listen to God's word. You see, look at verse 11 here. Nevertheless, the centurion was more persuaded by the helmsman, that's the captain of the ship, and the owner of the ship, than by the things spoken by Paul. And because the harbor was not suitable to winter in, to stay in, the majority advised to set sail from there also, if by any means they could reach Phoenix, a harbor of Crete, opening toward the southwest and northwest, and winter there and stay there. You see, what makes us make these foolish decisions at times and these choices that will have consequences not only for us, but also our family and those that are closest to us? Number one, simply put, by not obeying God's word in our lives. Number two, by not trusting God. Number three, by listening to human reasoning and logic at times. You see, what did the centurion do? Rather than listening to the words of Paul, which was ultimately and really the word of God, he listened to the captain. Well, hey, the captain, he knows how to get there. He sails this ship. I'm going to listen to him. he listens to the owner of the ship, the engineer. You know, well, this guy's, you know, he's an educated guy. He knows how this ship is built, and he built it. So it reminds me of the Titanic. It's been on lately on TBS or whatever. And I was watching it the other day, and I man, my heart sunk when the guy says, not even God could sink this ship. Wow. God will not be mocked. Anything that man creates, God could bring down. And he says, I'm going to listen to the owner of the ship. I'm going to listen to the circumstances. You know, they see that, hey, the harbor here, it's not comfortable for us here to stay in during this season. You know, it's cold. You know, let's just move down south. Let's move away from here. And again, I talk with people and they say, oh, I just got to get out of here. I got to move. And thinking that by moving in their geographical location, that it's going to change their lives. Because guess what? You can move to Antarctica. Guess what? You're going to be there and your problems are going to be there. The things that you haven't dealt with will be with you no matter where you go. They listen to the majority. They take a vote. That's why I'm so thankful that God's style of church governing is not with people, with man taking votes and voting this or that. Moses, man, if this was the case with the majority, Moses would have been ousted from the get-go as he's leading the people of Israel out of bondage to the promised land. How many times were they murmuring and complaining? Oh, it was better for us in Egypt when we were slaves. It was better when we were getting our backs whipped. It was better over there. But sometimes that's what happens in our lives. We start listening to friends and family members. They mean well at times, but if they don't know the Lord and they're not giving you counsel from God's word, it's going to lead you astray. It's going to lead me astray. And we say, but he's a captain, but he's an engineer, but she's, you know, the owner. And but the circumstances are telling me this. And the majority is telling me that. Notice the centurion had faith, but he had faith in the wrong places, in the wrong people. We as believers, we have faith, and we know that our faith is found upon the person and work of Jesus Christ, as is told to us in his perfect word from Genesis to Revelation and everything in between. That's what we need to listen to. Be careful when you're listening to all the wrong things, all the wrong people. They wanted to go down to Phoenix. I'm just thinking about this. I know that this is an area over here near North Africa and whatnot, but I'm thinking about just how many times I talk with people and they think, you know, I got to get over to Arizona, or I got to move to San Diego, or I got to move to Hawaii. That's where I'll be happy. That's where my life will be better, because the palm trees and the sunlight. And let me tell you something. You remember Pastor Walter, right? When he came here and shared. He was born and raised in the South Bronx his whole life. He moved out to San Diego. He said, John, the first couple of years, it was great. And he says, you know what? I actually missed the four seasons. I actually missed the winter. I miss having snow on the ground. And we think that it's going to be more favorable in other areas. And we want to jump out of the ship. We want to jump out of God's will for our lives and go to somewhere where it's more fair, those fair havens. We need to be very careful. Well, it says in verse 13, when the south wind blew softly, supposing that they had obtained their desire, putting out to sea, they sailed close by Crete. And you see what the enemy does? He presents these ideal circumstances. He opens up these doors. He presents all these wonderful opportunities, and he'll even bring a nice little south breeze to blow on you. Oh, man, that feels nice. Oh, that feels good. He will get you right there. And once he's got you in his boat, he's like, now it's showtime. Let's read on. But, so they're on this boat. The nice south wind is blowing softly. Supposing they had gotten their desire. And see, that's what he does. Again, the devil's a deceiver, right? He's a liar and the father of lies. And he makes everything look great outwardly. And once you get on there, here's when the butt comes in. But not long after, a tempestuous headwind arose called Euroclydon. Now, this storm, this wind, it's basically like a nor'easter, like a typhoon, like a tsunami, if you will. That's the storm that they find themselves in now as they set sail against God's word to them. Everything seemed good until now. the calm before the storm, right? That nice little breeze, everything's settled, and then you're on there, and then boom, the tempestuous Euroclydons arise in our lives. So when the ship was caught, verse 15, and could not head into the wind, we let her drive. They just let it go. I mean, remember, this is a sailboat. They couldn't control it at this point now. And now they're just letting it go. And running under the shelter of an island called Clauda, we secured the skiff with difficulty. They're trying to keep the ship, you know, steadied now, and they can't steady the ship. Look what it says. When they had taken it on board, they used cables to undergird the ship, and fearing lest they should run aground on the Syrtis sands, they struck sail and so were driven. They would have cables on these boats, and they would be wrapped underneath the underneath of the boat, and they start to pull them together to keep this wooden ship in place, intact. So they're frantically now pulling on these cables, and this is what happens. This is what the enemy does in our lives. He gets us on these ships, and now he's got us in our flesh trying to pull everything together. And we're trying to plug all these holes and trying to pull all the cables. And we're trying to undergird our lives now and our ship, so to speak. And God is sitting there saying, you should have listened to me. But you know what I love about the Lord? Is he's the one that's undergirding us. We try to undergird ourselves. We try to pull up on the reins and try to pull on all the cables. And God is up there and he's saying, I got it. I'm holding you together, even when we don't realize it. Let's keep on reading. Check this out. They're afraid because they're heading toward these Syrtis sands. Now, these Syrtis sands were off the coast of North Africa, and they were considered by sailors as the graveyard for the ships. It would be like our Bermuda Triangle, right? No one would want to sail through that area. This is where they're heading. Do you see the danger? Do you see what's going on here? And because we were exceedingly tempest-tossed, the next day, they lighten the ship. You see that? So they're in this storm, they're on this ship, and it's falling apart. Everything is falling apart. And I cannot help but think that some of these guys are saying, and we're going to see there's 276 people on board here, prisoners, Paul himself a prisoner, one of them. And they're probably saying to themselves now, man, maybe we should have listened to that guy. Maybe we should have listened to what that guy was saying. And they start to say, what are we going to do now? We got to lighten the ship. Let's try and get some of this stuff off of here. Now, there are times in our lives, I think that sometimes we could find ourselves in these same seas in our lives, in our ship, so to speak. And I think that it's when these storms come and we find ourselves in them, that is when the Lord will reveal to us the need to toss some junk overboard. Amen? Stuff that was unnecessary. Stuff that's weighing down the boat, so to speak. I think that's a good word for us at times. There are times when we just feel like, you ever get there where you just feel like your life just, something's weighing down on you. There's something weighing down in your home. There's something weighing down in your life, in your marriage, in your circumstances, with your children, whatever the case may be, just personally. And the Lord is saying, you see that? Toss it overboard. You see that over there? You don't need that. Get rid of that. It's weighing you down. You see, we live in a society that is so materialistic, right? He who dies with the most toys wins mentality. That's the world we live in, isn't it? Accumulate, right? Gather, hoard, you know, be selfish. Get as much as you can. No matter how you get it, just keep it. It weighs us down as individuals, and it weighs down on our families. I think of that parable about the rich fool there in Luke chapter 12. When Jesus says, beware of covetousness because your life does not consist of the things that one accumulates. Be careful of that. And he tells about this story about this guy who had a barn. Now, on that day, if you had a barn, you're already good to go. You're already doing well for yourself. And he starts speaking to himself, the guy in the story. He says, you know what? I said to my soul, soul, you got a lot of things. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to tear down this barn. I'm going to build more barns. And I'm going to store up for myself all these things. And then I'm going to be merry. I'm going to eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow I die. And Jesus said to him, you fool, tonight your soul will be required of you. And whose will these things be? It's junk. It's weighing us down. The Lord says, take it out. Remove it. We need to take an honest inventory of our lives, of our priorities. There are times there are things in our lives that aren't necessarily sinful, but they're just weighing us down. They're just distractions. And the Lord is saying, toss it overboard. It's weighing you down. You wonder why you're not moving. You wonder why you're sinking. You got to lighten the ship. But sometimes, verse 19, it says, on the third day, we threw the ship's tackle overboard with our own hands. Sometimes there are times when the Lord, he tells us to lighten the ship, but it's not light enough. And he says he wants us to take the tackle with our own hands. And he wants us to take it and throw it out once and for all. And I'm thinking about tackle. You know, I'm not a fisherman, but I know people who fish. And I'm thinking about what's in a tackle box. You know, my mind works like this. I'm a little crazy sometimes. But, you know, I'm thinking about what's in that tackle box. There's lures, right? You attach it to your little fishing rod, and there's certain lures to catch certain fish, right? There's hooks, bait, tools that basically what? Trap and kill the fish. So you can take it home, fry it up, and eat it. Nice, right? But it's all superficial. It's all fake, but it's so appealing. That fish doesn't say, wow, that's a fake worm there. That's a fake little whatever that is. But no, they go for it and they bite on it. And guess what? Once they're on that hook, they're dead. And that's what the tackle in our lives sometimes does. It lures us in. It hooks us. It's so appealing. It seems so good. It seems so real. And yet it's all nonsense. And the Lord is saying, take that tackle with your own hands. I want you to take it and throw it overboard. Your ship is sinking, and you got to toss it out before it's too late. What tackle could be in your lives, in our lives at times, if we're not careful? Pornography, fake tackle, it's got a hook on it. Drunkenness, drugs. I'm not talking just about the drugs on the streets. I'm talking about pharmaceutical drugs. Nowadays, how many people are abusing them and are hooked on them? Gambling, sexual immorality, anger, abusive behavior. Are these things in your tackle box that the Lord is saying, you got to get rid of this. You got to toss this out because it's sinking your ship. It needs to go. You need to repent. Because if not, you're going to sink to destruction. And we got to take it with our own hands and say, you know what, Lord, you're right. I repent. I confess. I don't want this in my life no more. Jesus said, if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off. If your right eye causes you to sin, pluck it out. What does that mean? You still got a left hand and a left eye. He's saying you got to deal ruthlessly with sin. It's in the heart. You got to rip it out of there and say, give it to me. I died for that. I purchased you for that. I want to free you from that stuff. It's weighing you down. It's sinking your ship. It's got to go. Throw the tackle overboard with your own hands. The Lord calls us. He holds us accountable. And if we refuse those warnings, if we just shake it off and say, I'm all right. I got my little dinghy in the back. I'll be good. Yeah, let's keep on reading. Come on, let's look at this. Now, when neither sun nor stars appeared for many days and no small tempest beat on us, look at this. No sun or stars. It's dark, right? There's darkness there. No small tempest. It seems helpless. This storm is getting so strong now. It seems helpless. And finally, they seem hopeless. This seems that there's all hope that they would be saved. It's gone now. But after long abstinence from food, then Paul stood in the midst of them and said, Paul's been fasting, and no doubt Paul's been praying. And he stands in the midst of all these men, and he says, men, you should have listened to me. He says, and not have sailed from Crete and incurred this disaster and loss. You never want to be there. You never want to have to sit down with someone again and say, you know, I should have listened to you because it's too late. You've incurred the loss. But with the Lord, it's not too late. Isn't that great? Amen for that. Let's keep reading. He says, and now I urge you to take heart. Be of good courage. Be of good cheer, Paul says to them. for there will be no loss of life. Look at the grace and mercy of God. He says, be encouraged, guys. Listen, you should have listened to me, but I want to tell you something. I've been with the Lord. He's ministered to my heart that there's not going to be any loss of life among you, but only of the ship. For there stood by me this night an angel of the God to whom I belong and whom I serve. Isn't that awesome? God came and sent a ministering angel to Paul once again to let him know that, hey, I'm with you. You're going to be safe. And not only you, but all the guys with you on this boat, they're going to be safe. Go and encourage them. Go and tell them. And Paul says, the God to whom I belong and to whom I serve. If you belong to the Lord, you can't help but serve the Lord. Amen? Paul said, I not only belong to him, but I serve him. I'm not talking just in context of ministry. I'm talking about serving him with our lives. He's our Lord and he's our Savior. He's our master. Paul, see, he knew who the captain of his ship was. It was Jesus Christ, not the guy driving this ship. So he says to them, saying, do not be afraid, Paul. You must be brought before Caesar. And indeed, God has granted you all those who sail with you. Remember, the Lord's telling Paul, you're going to get to Rome. You're going to stand before Caesar, like I told you, and I'm going to bring all the guys around with you. However, therefore, take heart, men, for I believe God that it will be just as it was told me. In the midst of our storms and trials is a time when we are tested the most. We are tested in our faith. We are tested in our character. We are tested in our trust in God and in his word. Can we say that we believe God, that it will be just as he tells us in his word? Even when everything around us is telling us otherwise? That's what Paul's telling these guys. Listen, I believe God. Not I believe in God. You see, James tells us that even the demons believe in God and tremble. He says, I believe God. Big difference. I believe God that it will be just as he told it to me. Courage, comfort, and strength come from standing on the word of God. That's where Paul got his courage. That's where Paul got his strength. And what's he doing? He's passing it along. However, he says in verse 26, we must run aground on a certain island. We're gonna run into an island, guys. Now, when the 14th night had come, look at this. 2 weeks. They're in this ship. They're on these rough seas, right? After the 14th night had come, as we were driven up and down in the Adriatic Sea, about midnight, the sailors sensed that they were drawing near some land. And they took soundings and found it to be 20 fathoms. And when they had gone a little farther, they took soundings again and found it to be 15 fathoms. So they're measuring about where they're at on the sea now. And they're realizing they're getting a little closer to land. Then fearing lest we should run aground on the rocks, they dropped 4 anchors from the stern and prayed for day to come. Or really it means they wished for day to come. And as the sailors were seeking to escape from the ship, when they had let down the skiff into the sea under pretense of putting out an anchor from the prow, Paul said to the centurion and the soldiers, unless these men stay in the ship, you cannot be saved. You see, it's at this point when we can be tempted to jump ship. We're heading that way. It seems like there's no end in sight. All hope that we'd be saved has failed. And it's at these times that we're tempted to jump ship. To go off on my own little dinghy. That little skiff, that's the dinghy there. In the back of the boat, the little life raft, if you will. They start dropping it down. They figure, hey, let's get out of here before this thing crashes. And we think that if I just get off on my own little dinghy, if I jump off this ship and go off to my own little island, you know, I'll be okay. It's when we can't do it anymore, gang, that we see the power and the glory of God in our lives. That's why we need to stay on the ship. God will bring us to this place where we realize and we acknowledge that, Lord, all hope is gone. There is nothing that I can do. And God says, that's great. That's exactly where I want you. Stay on the ship. Let's keep on reading. You see, when God tells us to stay on board, gang, in the storm, we need to obey him. It is safer there than sitting under a palm tree in perfect weather outside of God's will for your life. it is safer in the storms and you're in God's will than to be on some nice, calm island outside of God's will. Let's keep reading. And they let down the skiff. And Paul says, guys, unless you stay in the ship, you cannot be saved. You see, God would say to us even today, maybe you're tempted and you're tempted to jump ship in some area in your life. And you're saying, you know, I just can't do this anymore. It's not working. There's no hope in sight for me anymore. I'm going to jump ship. I'm going to get off on my little dinghy and go away. The Lord is saying to you this morning, stay on the ship. Do not jump ship, because if you do, it's going to be destruction. You will not be saved if you jump off the ship. And the soldiers, verse 32, cut away the ropes of the skiff. I love this. We need to get rid of all escape plans. Cut those ropes. Let it go away. That little dinghy, that little escape plan you got, cut the ropes off of it. Your little divorce fund. I talk to people in my chair. They got divorce funds. I'm dead serious. They got a separate bank account that they save money in case they get divorced. So I'm saying, wait a second. So you get married and now you have an account here. So in case you get to, you're planning it. You're already planning that it's going to go that way. You got to cut that. Cut those options. You know, me and my wife said 15 years ago that divorce would never be an option in our home. And you know what? No matter, even if we argue, we never throw that word ever at each other that we're going to divorce each other. Never. In 15 years, by the grace of God. Because we cut those ropes. Cut those options. Cut those escape plans that you got. Cut them out. You see, you got to stay on the boat. Let it fall off, it says there. And as day was about to dawn, Paul implored them all to take food, saying, today is the 14th day. You have waited and continued without food and have eaten nothing. Therefore, I urge you to take nourishment, for this is for your survival, since not a hair will fall from the head of any of you. Look at how God protects us, right? Not even a hair on their head would be touched. You see, we got to trust God at his word. We need to stay in the boat with him. We need to stay on the ship. We can't seek to jump ship because God's got us. He's going to protect us. And when he had said these things, he took bread and gave thanks to God in the presence of them all. And when he had broken it, he began to eat. Look at this. Look at the witness of Paul. Surrounded by all these unbelieving men, he takes bread and he gives thanks and he praises the Lord for it and he breaks it and he gives it to them. What does that remind us of? Communion, right? We're going to do that today. And Paul says, listen, you need this to nourish you. We have Jesus. He's the bread of life. He will nourish you. He will strengthen you. It's for your survival. It's for our survival that we need Jesus. We need to stay in the boat with him. And look what happens. They began to eat. And they were all encouraged and also took food for themselves. Paul led by example. He ate first and he gave it to them. And they started to also eat. And in all, we were 276 persons on the ship. So when they had eaten enough, they lightened the ship and threw out the wheat into the sea. They realized, hey, we don't even need this grain. We don't need this wheat. We got the bread of life. They tossed that overboard also. I love it. And when it was day, they did not recognize the land, but they observed a bay with a beach onto which they planned to run the ship if possible. And they let go the anchors and left them in the sea. Meanwhile, loosening the rudder ropes, and they hoisted the mainsail to the wind and made for shore. But striking a place where two seas met, they ran the ship aground, and the prow struck fast and remained immovable, but the stern was being broken up by the violence of the waves. So they're on their way, they're heading toward this island, and the ship is just totally falling apart now. Everything is breaking off. And it says here, and the soldiers... plan was to kill the prisoners lest any of them should swim away and escape. Now remember, the soldiers who guarded prisoners in this day, if one escaped, it was their life. So they're like ready to kill all these prisoners before they escape. And look what it says here. But the centurion, wanting to save Paul, kept them from their purpose and commanded that those who could swim should jump overboard first and get to land. Look at how God has protected not just Paul, but because of Paul, all these other men were saved and protected as well. You see, another reason why we can't jump ship is because we are also protecting people around us. You see that? Husband, wife, mom, dad, young one, grandma, grandpa, whoever you are listening to this, and you're seeking to jump ship, guess what? There is a lot riding on this. You need to stay put. You need to trust God, because not even a hair on your head is going to be touched, he's saying. But if you do, guess what? You won't be saved. You jump off the ship, you're not going to be saved. But look at this. All these guys jump over, they all swim, and the rest, some on boards. Now, this is the first mention of surfing in the scriptures. No, I'm kidding. Joking. Some on boards and some on other parts of the ship, and they all get over to that island. And so it was, I love it, and so it was that they all escaped safely to land. Whew, man, this is some journey, huh? I mean, I get scared as I'm reading through these parts, certain parts of this, right? But what ultimately happens? Why? Because they obeyed the Lord. They obeyed what God had told them to do. God was gracious and merciful the second time around that at least they listened to Paul. Listen. When we read God's word, we don't come here just to say, all right, I put my hour in, and you're looking at your watch, right? Is this guy done talking? I got to get out of here. Yankees are on, you know, whatever. Let's go Yankees, right? But when we come and we read God's word and we study God's word and you're reading it and studying it on your own, this is God speaking to us, gang. This isn't just some religious ritual that we do. And if God has spoken to you today, especially concerning the ship that you're in, please, not because I'm asking you, but because he's asking you, please take heed to his word today and avoid the destruction and disaster in your life. To close, who's the captain of your ship? First, we got to start there. Are you the captain of your ship? Because if you are, that ship's going to go down. But is Jesus the captain of your ship? If Jesus is the captain of your ship, doesn't matter what storms you're involved in right now, you're going to get to the land and you're going to escape safely. What needs to go in your life? What do you need to do to lighten your ship? What needs to be tossed out? What tackle needs to just go? And the Lord has said to you today again, listen, you need to repent and get rid of it. Are we going to listen to God and his word? Are we going to listen to man or ourselves or the devil? Because again, we're listening to one of two voices, either that of God's or that of the devil's. Are you willing to suffer the loss of the temporal in order to save that which has value for all eternity? You and your family. You see, they were willing to suffer the loss of everything, their ship, all their belongings, all these things, to save themselves and their family. Are you willing to do that this morning? Are you going to hold on tightly to these temporary things of the world? It's better to be in an inflatable raft with the Lord heading for heaven than on a luxury yacht headed for destruction, not just here, but for all eternity. God is speaking loud and clear. Don't seek to jump ship. Don't seek to save your ship and the things in it at the cost of you and your family. Please, I know God is speaking. Take heed to his word. Don't incur the disaster that will happen if you disobey his word, because I'm telling you right now, it's going to happen if you do. But God this morning, whether you're here or you're listening to this somewhere, God has spoken to you to say, I'm with you in the ship. Will you allow me to be the captain of your ship? Will you allow me to be the Lord of your life? Will you stay in the ship with me? I got my dinghy. Tomorrow the seas will calm down. I'm my own captain, thank you. Guess what, friend? You're headed for destruction. And the Lord loves you more than that. That he sent his only begotten son to die on a cross in your place, in my place, for the sins of the world. You're saying, I can't lighten this. I can't do it on my own. Good. There's no hope for me anymore. Good. That's a good place to be, because your hope has to be found in Jesus Christ. If that's you, I want to pray with you this morning. Please, really, wherever you are. I'm not going to ask you to raise up your hands. I'm not going to ask you to do anything. But you know what's in your ship. You know what's going on in your ship. You know what needs to go. And you know if Jesus is the captain or not. Please, let's pray together. Father, Lord, I thank you so much for your word. We thank you, Lord, for your word to us. And Lord, that you warn us, that you encourage us, Lord, that you desire for us to get to land safely, Lord, but we know that we cannot do that apart from you. And so, Lord, I pray for any this morning who are at rough seas. Their ship is falling apart and they're tempted to jump. Lord, please give them the strength to obey you and to trust you and to stay on board, Lord. To cut away all the escape plans, Lord. Let them lighten the ship. Let them toss over the tackle, Lord. Let them trust you. Let them believe you at your word that it will be just as you said, God. Lord, let us not seek those fair havens. Let us not seek those smooth sailing opportunities at times, Lord. Let us discern your will for our lives. And Lord, please, I pray, if there's any here that do not know you in a personal way, that do not know you as their Savior and Lord, please, Lord, today I pray that they make the most important decision of their lives and to repent of their sin and to turn to you for salvation. Because there's so much riding on it. Lord, we thank you. We praise you. We ask this in Jesus' name.
Tune in next week as we continue our journey of walking in truth with Pastor Johnny Zacchio of Calvary Chapel of Grace and Truth, located at 1373 Nepperhan Avenue in Yonkers, New York. For more information, call the church at 914-410-4830 or visit them on the web at calvarychapelofgraceandtruth.org.